Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Easter has come and gone, and so the gospel stories that offer themselves for our consideration are naturally ones that place Jesus after the resurrection. Even though there are four versions of Christ's story, that is, four gospels, there really aren't that many post-resurrection stories to choose from. The gospels seem to concentrate quite a bit of their energy on the painful details that lead up to Christ's crucifixion. The stories that happen after his resurrection seem to be kind of tacked on to the end. They feel a little bit odd. They are curious, shrouded, as it were, in mystery. But even if this period of Christ's life doesn't get a whole lot of attention from the gospel writers, it is a pretty significant set of stories for those of us who follow Jesus. Christ, after all, has just returned from a place that no one has ever returned from before, or since, as far as we know. He has been dead for 3 days, and now he is alive again. Really? If this is true, as we Christians say it is, and Jesus has something to say during this second time around, as it were, then I think we better sit up straight and listen up. In today's story, Jesus appears to the disciples on the shores of the Sea of Tiberias. According to the story, Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." And the others quickly agreed, and off they went. It was nighttime when they went, and they didn't have much luck. In fact, they didn't catch anything in their nets. When day broke, Jesus appeared on the shore, but they didn't recognize him. He told them to go out and cast their nets again, and lo and behold, they caught a bunch of fish. The gospel is very specific. It says 153 fish they caught. There is a kind of comical moment in the story when the disciples who are hauling up their nets suddenly recognize Jesus, and one of them, Simon Peter, who for some reason doesn't have any clothes on, has to quickly put his clothes back on before Jesus sees him, which is rather odd. And then they return to the shore where Jesus has a fire ready for them. And he says, "Come, let's have breakfast." It is at this point that the strange dialogue ensues between Jesus and Simon Peter that makes up the majority of today's reading. But before we turn our attention to that dialogue, and we will, can we just take a moment to notice how odd this story is? And how normal it is also. It's odd because it's so normal. You know what I mean? Imagine you knew someone who died and came back to life again. Wouldn't you be curious? Wouldn't you want to know a little bit about what it was like to be dead? I don't know about you, but if I met Jesus on the shores of the Sea of Tiberias, I would have a whole list of questions for him. Pretty straightforward questions. What was it like? What was it like to be dead? Was it dark? Was it light? Was it scary? Or was it wonderful? These are eternal questions that we humans have never known the answer to. Here is our chance to find out. But none of the disciples bothered to ask these questions. And what about Jesus? Wouldn't he want to relay a message, maybe? Might not he be eager to fill us in just a little bit about the nature of the divine? Presumably, at least this is what we assume to be true, when he was dead, Jesus was in closer proximity to the ultimate than he was when he was alive. Wouldn't this subject be the first item on the agenda? That's what I would think. The disciples get a handful of chances to talk to the Messiah himself, the Son of God, who has died and has resurrected. And instead of taking advantage of this once-in-human-history opportunity to get the answers to all of the eternal mysteries that plague us as humans, instead, they sit around on the beach, fry some fish, and eat some breakfast. Change gears a little bit here. I want to tell a story, and it's not my story, as I usually do from the pulpit. It's someone else's story. This story is a story from the life of a man who I admire above all others, a man named Dr. Paul Farmer, who, as you may recall, died recently, and who I was very shaken by his death, and I mentioned it from the pulpit here. Dr. Paul Farmer's story is one that I have paraphrased from the book Mountains Beyond Mountains, which is the story of his life written by the Pulitzer Prize-winning author Tracy Kidder. As a young man, before he decided to become a medical doctor, Paul Farmer spent some time volunteering in a hospital in Haiti. While he was there, he met a young American doctor who was about to go back to the U.S. Farmer, who had already been transformed by his experience doing medical volunteering among the poor in Haiti, asked the doctor how he felt about leaving Haiti and returning to the U.S. The young doctor said, "Are you kidding? There's no electricity here. It's brutal here. But aren't you worried about not being able to forget all this? There's so much disease here." "No," the doctor said. "I'm an American. I'm going home." Later that night, a young woman arrived at the hospital. She was helping her sister, who was pregnant. The pregnant woman was in trauma. She was suffering from a serious case of malaria. The doctor who was present diagnosed the problem and proclaimed that she needed a transfusion, but there was a problem because there was no blood available in the hospital. It was a small rural hospital. And there was blood, but the blood was at a hospital in Port-au-Prince. The sister would go for the blood, but she had no money. Meanwhile, the pregnant sister went into a coma. Paul Farmer ran around the hospital raising money and managed to scrounge up $15. It was all that he could manage. He had no money himself, which the sister took and left. But then she returned shortly afterward because $15 could get her to Port-au-Prince, but it wouldn't be enough money to buy the blood. Paul and the sister watched in agony as the young pregnant woman and the unborn child died. In the aftermath of the death, the sister said, "If you are poor, you cannot get a blood transfusion. This is terrible. We are all human. We are all human." The sister's words sank into Paul Farmer. He decided that he couldn't just get back on the plane and go back to America. He saw then that the poor were dying not because they could not be treated, but because they were poor. He could not leave the poor behind to suffer and die needlessly. Paul Farmer's life became an insistence that poor people should not be left to die simply because they are poor. Why should poor Haitians die every day of treatable conditions that middle-class Americans have no problem solving?
They are terrible there. They're so sad.
Yes. I've lost my place. There we go. Why? Why should this be the case? The reason. The obvious and entirely unacceptable answer to this question was that because of the mechanisms of globalism and the maldistribution of wealth, the middle-class American, simply by virtue of the accident of birth, is given more value than the poor Haitian. This, Paul Farmer found intolerable. He flew home, but he never left Haiti behind. He returned. He actually raised the money necessary to create a blood bank in that particular hospital where the pregnant woman died. Eventually, he and Partners in Health, the organization he founded, built a world-class medical clinic in central Haiti, one of the most impoverished areas of the world. When Jesus returned from the dead, when he returned from spending 3 days in the presence of the divine, he did not tell Simon Peter about the golden mansions in heaven. He did not tell Simon Peter about the radiant face of God or the flashing wings of the seraphim. Jesus did not give Simon Peter any clue about the eternal questions that plague human life. He might have done so, but he didn't. So what did he do? He did something far more important. He told Simon Peter to do something. He told him not once, but three times. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. Jesus returned to tell us one thing. God sent him back to tell us this. And Jesus told us three times. Care for the poor. Feed the hungry. Tend to the sick. Could it be more clearly stated? To find God, love and care for those who suffer. Always for others. Always for others. Amen.